Oh, that's right. I tell you what, you're in for a good one this afternoon. We have two great people from Beyond Abuse with us this afternoon. Kathy Miller is the executive director of Beyond Abuse, and Jessica Bell is client services director. They were posturing this afternoon. I guess nobody told them it was radio. Kathy's making sure her collar's up. She's got her coral-colored sweater and her hair done just right. And Jessica here is looking pretty sharp, so we're ready to roll this afternoon. How you doing today, everybody?
Thanks, Ann. We're doing great. Thanks for having us on the show again.
Absolutely. You know, I think it's amazing when we look at nonprofit organizations, the growth that has happened in Greenwood with some of our nonprofits just has exploded. And Beyond Abuse is one of those that I would say has exploded.
Yeah, you know, we're unfortunately but fortunate that we've seen a need in the community and we were able to address the need. So we've seen exponential growth in the number of clients that we have come into the agency, you know, just year on year. I track those numbers every month for my board, and then year on year, and, you know, we're up 15 to 20% every year. So I have to attribute a lot of that to people are now more aware of the services we provide. So they are seeking services from us, but we now have been able to deliver and actually expand our footprint as well to be able to, you know, keep people not in a long waiting queue, if you will, and to provide services in a timely manner.
Now, Jessica, how many people work client services?
Oh, I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Do you know?
Well, we have 16
numbers,
total employees plus two contract, and all but five of those. So 13 would be direct client services, yes, that report to Jessica. Yes.
Wow. Yes. That's pretty big.
Yes, it is big. It is big. But I have a lot of support, good managers up under me that's helping me be able to handle all that.
That's terrific.
That, and we have awesome staff members across
now,
the
just
board.
Out of curiosity, for those the people that don't know what it is, what is Beyond Abuse? What is it?
We are the agency that serves sexual violence in Greenwood, Abbeville, and Lawrence counties. And we provide services to children and adults. We have a sexual assault program, and we also have a children's advocacy center program. And really, we're just here to help them in any way we can. We offer therapy for both ages. We offer forensic interviews, medical exams through law enforcement, DSS referrals. And we try to bring all of those professionals together so we're collaborating and working well together because we know that's in the best interest of the people we serve.
And what would be the end goal, Jessica? What's the end goal?
The end goal, of course, is always to stop sexual violence, but I think helping people feel like they can reach out for help and be open about that they've had this happen to them, I think is the first step we have to take before we can get to the prevention goal.
Now, of course, not long ago, Me Too came about, a hashtag Me Too. I wonder what effect that has had on your organization.
I'm hopeful that it has had people feel more comfortable to reach out to get services. I'm also hopeful that people that aren't being open about their history, they don't feel bad that they're not being open about it. And I would want them all to know we're going to support them and believe them no matter what. So we hope to see them.
You know, one of the things that we were talking about before we came on the air is not everybody wants to come forth and be a Me Too, tell their story.
Exactly. Yes.
And what is your feeling about those people?
I think it's okay. Everybody's at a different point in their healing journey. And some people aren't going to be comfortable coming forward yet. And I think that's just fine.
I think so, too, because Everybody is different. But do we ever feel that there's too much that everybody, maybe somebody knows that somebody had this because somebody confided in somebody? There's been, even in the media, people pushing other people to come forward when they really didn't want to.
Yeah, I think that can always happen. That's always a possibility, and I think it's probably unfortunate, but maybe fortunate for some people that needed that push. But again, I don't think that's going to be most people's first choice for it to come out that way.
Now, how have y'all addressed it? I understand you're doing some alternative type programs.
Yes, we actually participated in the Can Do hashtag through SCADVASA. They're our mother organization. They're the South Carolina Coalition Against Domestic Violence. So it's our way of kind of moving that forward and saying, okay, people have come forward and these are the things that we can do. So we all as a staff came up with our own Can Do statements to try to not just leave it at, okay, which is very important. It does happen to a lot of people, but also now what can we do about it? How can we respond to it? And I think that's important, is trying to take that next step with this movement.
And, you know, I think the other thing is we always usually think of it about women as being the victims, but that's not always true, is it?
No, that's not always true at all. Men are the victims a lot of times, and I think a lot of times they don't feel comfortable coming forward because they feel like people may look at them a certain way. But
you couldn't handle that woman that was coming after you.
That's an example of things that could be, you know, they could be afraid of. But I hope they know that we don't think that way as an agency, and we definitely will support and believe them like we do anybody else.
And I think it's important to know that for men, there are not only in the workplace but domestically, there is a whole of sexual abuse for men.
Yes.
Within, and I mean, I have known several that you would have thought no way, but they were actually abused by the women that were their wives, their mothers.
Yeah, and I think that's the issue across the board for all kind of families. You never know what's going on behind closed doors for both men and women.
And I can tell you, Ann, that from a statistical perspective at the agency, of the 300 children we see every year, new children, about 25% of those are boys. So that just proves the fact that, you know, children are abused by, you know, and most times it's the family member or somebody known and trusted by the family member. And then when we move into the adult category, yes, we have men who come to the agency for counseling services because they may have been abused as a child or were recently sexually assaulted. So it is not just a female issue. It affects both genders, definitely.
Yes, absolutely. That was a point. You know, April is a National Month of Hope.
Well, it's also Sexual Assault Awareness Month and Child Abuse Prevention Month.
Right.
So it's April's a busy month.
It is a busy month, but this is a new one. And I just think this is so neat. Hope, helping others practice empowerment.
Okay, I didn't actually know anything about that.
No. That's right. Mm-hmm. Helping others practice empowerment. Hope.
That's
a big umbrella,
though.
Then, of a lot of smaller initiatives that are happening. It could cover a lot of different programs, definitely.
This actually was brought from Mothers in Crisis one that started this, and they're an organization that's been around for many years, and they came up with this. So helping others practice empowerment, I think that has so many different aspects that it could be used in.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's a great one, isn't it?
Yeah, I'll definitely look into that one.
Okay, all right. Hope. We all need some hope.
That's right.
Exactly.
So, Kathy, now the name has been changed to Beyond Abuse, but many people knew it as...
Well, let me go back in time, Ann, because we now in 2017 just celebrated 25 years of service to the community. And as Jessica said earlier, that's Greenwood, Abbeville, Lawrence, and even Newberry County from a children's perspective. So we've been a long time servants to victims in those areas. So originally, it came together with a group of volunteer advocates who wanted to go and serve victims in the area hospitals who had been sexually assaulted. And that was just volunteers at the time. But in 1999, it was officially formed and created a 501c3 nonprofit organization. It was called the Rape Crisis Center. And then some years later, it changed its name to the Sexual Trauma and Crisis Center. And then because the board felt like there was a little bit of a stigma attached to that, in the fall of 2013, I believe it was, rebranding took place again to the current name of Beyond Abuse. And the mission is to lead our community beyond sexual violence and child abuse through awareness, advocacy, and action. And, you know, when you look at those taglines, we have those, each of those components or functional areas at our agency. So certainly we have advocates who are working with the victims. And we have awareness through our education and awareness teams. So it's all about really branding ourselves and being consistent in our messaging and letting people know that we're here to serve them. And we're, you know, people look at me and say, how can you be excited or, you know, and talk so positively about it? Because we know we're helping people. So it's not a sad thing. It's sad that it's happening, but it's a good thing that we're there to help them through this crisis in their lives. Yes. So we're all excited to be a part of the agency, honestly. It's a good thing that we're doing. And we've got a tremendous staff on board. And, you know, they're fully dedicated professionals to what they're doing to help children and adults.
I can remember talking to Martha Pasterna that actually started the whole and had the vision, shall we say, for Greenwood. And, you know, when you look back at this and think, wow, Greenwood was really on the cutting edge at that time.
We are one of 16 accredited children's advocacy centers in the state of South Carolina and one of 15 or 16 sexual assault centers. What makes us unique is that while you may have in other places of the state standalone children's advocacy and sexual assault centers, separate and independent, we house both programs under one agency here in Greenwood. So both of our programs. So we're part of the South Carolina network of children's advocacy centers, and also, as Jessica mentioned, SCDVASA, which is the Coalition with Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault.
Do you think that gives you an advantage, having the two together through under one umbrella here?
I feel like we do, because what you see a lot of times with parents is they have their own history, and so they've come in with their child, but we also know that they are ready to get some help with their history. So we can do it all in one shop, so they don't have to go to different agencies, which we know is going to be easier for parents. But I think across the board, there's so many things that run similar between the two.
Absolutely.
So I think it makes
sense. You know, and I look at it from the different perspective, which is what's so nice with Jessica and myself, because we are a smaller agency. It gives us that economy of, you know, a therapist who can see both children and adults. So if we're kind of low one month where they're not sitting there, we can fill that void with adult clients or child clients, and we keep everything moving. One of the progressive things that we've done recently is we're having our forensic interviewers and our therapists be dual certified, so they can do either function. And so if forensic interviews are high demand, then okay, they can pull and move over to that area, but then maybe you need to pull them back over to do therapy. So that's another one of those models that we're implementing at Beyond Abuse.
I guess that would come from the business side.
Exactly.
Of Kathy,
no bottlenecks. No bottlenecks.
That comes, I mean, on the social side too, that's important, because our services, we need to get them pretty quick, especially with forensic interviews. The children need to come in quickly. So I think it's important we don't have a lot of waiting lists.
Sure. Yeah. You know, I think though one of the advantages that Beyond Abuse has gotten was to get Kathy Miller, with her business background, to come and be executive director there and just be able to look at it from a business side, because sometimes that's really a problem for nonprofits to have somebody with the business expertise that Kathy brings to the job.
Yes, we usually, on our side, we usually focus on, you know, the services and just meeting the need. And money is not usually something that we're taught in school to focus on, or
right,
that we even, you know, just as people, we don't focus on it as much on this end. And so it's been refreshing to have her come in and help us focus on that area and grow
and
us in that area.
And really take the burden off of you for the money.
Yeah,
and
it has opened us up to be more stable, so we can be there more for clients. So it kind of gets our same goal, and so it's been very helpful. I feel like
it's like a
definitely
win-win.
Very helpful.
Well,
yes.
And I'm not sitting here with, you know, a huge head or patting myself on the back. I think it was a great marriage, if you will, with where I was and where I wanted to go with my life too, and just to give a little bit of some of my skill set in a different environment. And it was just a nice fit, and it came along at a good time for me to do that. So I'm very humbled to be able to work in an environment where the skills I have been given over the years have given me an opportunity to work in a different environment. And so you're giving back more. I feel like I'm giving back some of the talents that I've been given and honed over the years, and not to have people worry about where funding is going to come from, because, you know, we know a nonprofit doesn't mean that it still doesn't have revenue and expenses. So a nonprofit is a business. It's just a nonprofit, which means it does not have to pay income taxes. So it's not like we have money, a lot of money sitting there in the bank, but we have, you know, money to operate with and a little bit of a fund for a contingency rainy day like anybody else would, in case the air conditioner goes out or have to put a new roof on the building. So just being financially stable is just a big burden where we don't have to worry about on the client services side, that they don't have to worry about that.
Now, do people have to pay for their services, Jessica?
Overall, they don't. We do have some mental health therapists that they would have a different situation, but even with that, we try to meet them where they're at, and we can figure out how to get them services without having to pay. So overall, no, they don't have to pay.
So if
so
they're
where
receiving
does the money come from there, Kathy?
Well, if they are receiving services from our staff, then no,
yes,
there's no fees involved. So we are a nonprofit who serve victims. And to Jessica's point, we do have a couple of contract employees, one through Beckman Mental Health, and then our child maltreatment medical examiner also. And if there's any billing opportunity for those folks, then yes, they may take it. But that is the exception to the rule.
We're never going to, you know, not see somebody because they can't pay for services. We will make it work.
So the money, the funding, the revenue,
funding, yes.
When you look at the balanced budget here, so on the revenue stream, certainly we are predominantly grant-funded opportunities for that we look for those through the federal government. So we have what we call VOCA, Victims of Crime Act money, and then the community's going to say, oh, yeah, here go our tax dollars. But let me clarify that VOCA funding is really unique because the people who commit crimes, they're having to pay some fines and penalties, if you will. And the federal government collects those fines and penalties and puts them in a bucket. And then they dole those back out to victim services across the United States. So the federal government gives money back to the state of South Carolina, who administers that money to all of us little nonprofits across the state who are providing direct victim services. So we may be getting some money from VOCA. Meg's House might be getting some money from VOCA. The solicitor's office or law enforcement. But anybody who's serving victims of crime, then we are eligible to compete for those grant opportunities. So that's probably about 75% of our funding are federal grants, VOCA, VAWA grants. We have some other local foundations that support us because they see really the need for what we're doing from a healthcare perspective. And then we have that other bucket of monies. We are a United Way agency. We receive some funding from United Way, but we still rely on fundraisers and donations from the community to pay for those things that those grants don't pay for, because they don't pay for capital improvements. They don't pay for small things, that, you know, operational supplies. They pay for a direct services position and the things that that person needs to do their job, but no more. They don't pay for you know, some leases on the building. They don't pay for the janitorial services or the lawn care services, all those things that it takes to run an organization.
That's why you're doing lawn care, right?
Exactly right. Exactly. I'm going to go pick up shrubs tonight, so we've got volunteers come tomorrow and plant those shrubs for us.
That's right. And that's why you've got your big fundraiser coming up, the Greenwood Stars, right?
Oh, I am. We're so excited that the community has embraced this event. It'll be the fourth year. It's going to be a sellout. We're literally within tickets of this thing being sold out again 2 weeks before the event. Spectacular show. We couldn't be more just thrilled with the way the community supports us with this one. It's a fun night. You know, we've kind of given our title a little entertainment event of the year in Greenwood. And nobody's told me I couldn't use it yet, so I'm going to continue to use it.
And nobody argues with you
about
it either.
Nobody argues with me. But it's a fun night. We have, 500 plus people there for the evening at the James Medford Center. We raise a lot of much needed funds for the agency. And it's just a good time. Absolutely. We have a great time that night, good support from the community. And the dancers themselves, I have to give a big shout out to them for the number of people who come together since January have been practicing to put on a good show for the community.
That's right. And put themselves out there.
2.5 minutes of fame.
Hey, that's for some, that'll be more than they'll ever get, honey.
Exactly.
There you go. Well, that is terrific. I think we should, right now, Andy, let's hear that infomercial, then the news, and we'll be back. So don't you go away. We are here today with Kathy Miller and Jessica Bell from Beyond Abuse. Stay tuned. The antique vintager has arrived in Greenwood. He's been in Greenwood, but he's been incognito. Now unveiled for the very first time, the antique vintager, the one and only Jeff Eller, is debuting on the national stage with his podcast. Shouldn't you be one of the first to come in and see him and see what you have with What's It Worth? Can you sell it? Do you want to sell it? And should you sell it? Only the antique vintager can tell you such things. So come and see us at 637 Durst Avenue East. Call first for your appointment. 864-229-6613. The antique vintager, Jeff Eller, is in the building. Oh, that's right. We're right back here, WCRS. I'm Ann Eller. Meet me at the diner. And today, our very special guest, Kathy Miller, who is the executive director of Beyond Abuse and director of client services, Jessica Bell. So we've been talking about how Beyond Abuse became Beyond Abuse. We've talked about the history 25 years back of in 2017. They've got you've got some new offices over in Lawrence. Yes?
That's right, Ann. And again, it was one of those visions that we had a couple years ago. We realized that on our client satisfaction surveys that we were implementing is that a lot of the times we were getting dibbed on, was it convenient? No, we were not convenient for people traveling from Newberry or Lawrence County to Greenwood. And if you're not convenient, then you're not going to complete services with us. So it was always a dream for us. And we last year found space, some office space through Self Regional with a great partner for us. And we are leasing the back hall of one of their medical buildings there. And we now, we started with therapy. And that was phase one. Phase two was to actually set up a forensic interview room. So we have the cameras installed and observation rooms for law enforcement and DSS. Phase three was to start our MDT meetings for our local partners there, so they didn't have to travel to Greenwood for the meetings with law enforcement and DSS solicitor's office. So I can tell you that attendance is up in Lawrence County because of having a convenient location. And now the final phase for us that we're working on is trying to have the actual child maltreatment medical exam there at that office as well, so that they don't have to drive to Greenwood for that particular component. And then we would have really all facets of our services for Lawrence County in that one location. So that's the final phase. We're keeping our fingers crossed and working with some different folks to make that a reality.
You know, it is amazing how many facets there is to this. We think about therapy. I guess you do group therapy, you do individual therapy. I understand you have pet therapy.
We
not
do.
Not for the pets, but yes.
Yeah, we do. We have multiple kind of therapies. We do individual therapy, group therapy. We're really big on doing evidence-based therapy, which basically means that it's been researched, so we know it works, because we want to be using what works for people. And so the animal-assisted therapy has actually been a really helpful add-on to our evidence-based therapy to help people get through their having to talk about the details. I'll just be honest, it makes it a little bit easier for some people to have the animal in the room during that time. And we've seen leaps and bounds with the animal assisted therapy adding on, and helping people through that progress or that process.
I remember when you were, y'all were on when you were first getting that program started, and you were, and one of the questions that came up is about the other person that handles the dog being in the room. And I thought that was very interesting that they have to go through some training themselves, don't they?
Yes, definitely. They go through a webinar, basically, is what it ends up being, that talks about ways to keep their dog safe and how to keep other people safe in that situation. But we also, on our end, we like to kind of get them prepared for the types of things they're going to hear, because it is hard to hear some of these stories, especially if you're not used to it. So I think it's really important that both ends are trained and know what they're getting into before they get into it.
Jessica, I would think that being in this field would have the potential for pretty big burnout, that this would be a hard, hard subject to deal with day in and day out.
Yes, there is a big potential for burnout, and it's something that we've been focusing on pretty hard over the last few years. We do a monthly, it's called secondary trauma. That's what burnout is kind of referenced in our field. And so now we're moving towards a monthly all direct clinical services staff, or really direct services on any level. We meet monthly, and we're going through like what secondary trauma is, things you can do to reduce it. And, you know, I've been in the field 13 years now, and I think the thing that's helped me stay that long is that I see it more of a positive thing, that when abuse happens to somebody, it's not something that's going to ruin the rest of their life. There is the potential to be helped and to be able to heal from it. You won't be able to forget it, but you can definitely lead a successful life after it happens, with therapy and other support. So I see it more positively. You know, of course, it's not great that it happened, but we can be there to help them through it.
Now, where does South Carolina fall as far as sexual, and, you know, as far as in the nation? You know, you read all these studies and this type of thing. Are we higher in the scale, lower in the scale? Do you know, have any idea?
I think we're higher.
We're pretty high, and I can't quote you an exact number. I would say, you know, certainly we're high as far as the rate per capita. I can talk more specifically about South Carolina when you look at domestic violence, which we are not. We're sexual assault and child abuse. The mixed house is domestic violence. I want to clarify that. People seem to confuse us sometimes, even though we may see some of the same folks. But Greenwood County ranks, it was number one and number two in domestic violence per capita and for years. From a sexual assault and a child abuse standpoint, we are right about number seven. So, you know, can I tell you why? Do we have more probably instances of things happening in our counties? I don't know. Maybe we have a client where law enforcement is more supportive and works with us, you know, closer. Maybe we have a community that's now more aware of what we do and they're seeking services. So I really don't think that we are, you know, so much worse off per se than the other counties in South Carolina. But there's some dynamic we cannot put our finger on to say why is our rate higher. But there's a lot of those intangibles that, you know, you'd have to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars with a team to study this and, you know, statisticians to kind of dig into all the things that are happening to make that that number what it is today. But we're aware of it and we're working on it and trying to certainly serve the people that we do see.
Absolutely. Well, it does seem like it is something that everybody knows somebody. Everybody knows somebody.
That's exactly right.
And whether they've come forth on it, whether they live with it, or whatever the situation may be. Now, what about, you know, we started out talking a little bit about Me Too. What about work-based sexual abuse? Are you seeing more of that? Has that always been part of it, or not so much, Jessica?
Based on the clients I've seen before, it's not as prevalent as you would think, but I think it can happen anywhere. When there's a power differential, any kind of a, you know, sexual violence can happen in that situation.
Sure. I just was curious since we were coming at. Now, what about some upcoming volunteer efforts and opportunities? What's going on there? If somebody says this is a program that I would like to get behind and support.
Right. So we keep really two columns of volunteers. We have our direct service volunteers, which we have a victim services manager who coordinates all of those volunteer efforts to have a training program for people who really want to be more hands-on with responding to the emergency rooms or crisis calls, those kind of things. So direct service volunteers are always in need. We have training sessions once a quarter for those folks to come out and learn.
What kind of person makes a good person to do this type of job? Because I think that would fall under a kind of specific kind of mentality.
I think the main thing I typically see is it's usually those people that everybody in your life comes to you with their problems. Those tend to be the ones that come to us and want to volunteer. But I think anybody that can really listen and be there for somebody and stay focused on that person throughout
that's
the whole
in today's world. Yes. Everybody is about me, right?
Exactly, you know? Exactly. So have that outward focus on that other person for an
good
extended
listener.
Yes.
A good listener.
Yes, good listener. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So
definitely.
They're trained in the protocol and how to respond. We work very closely again with law enforcement. So if you have law enforcement responding to the hospital and then our advocate responding to the hospital, they understand and respect each other's roles. We have joint training for that, just for that. So they respect each other and what they're both there to do, two different things. So that's from that volunteer perspective. But there's the other volunteer perspective. So if we have, you know, people in the community who say, look, I really don't want to do that and get up at 3 a.m. and go to the ER, but what else do you need? Well, we keep a list of volunteer efforts. So there's always something that needs to be done around the agency. Just for example, this week, Publix is coming in and they're allowing their local store, their volunteers to come out and spend some time with us tomorrow to do some landscaping at our agency and trying to beautify it a little bit. So we're excited about that partnership. We have Kiwanis coming out this weekend to help us with spreading some gravel. Some gravel was donated by Herbert Anderson Construction, and give you a plug there. And no, everybody doesn't need to go rush out to Herbert Anderson, but things things like that, those little things, is piecing together volunteer projects where get materials and then get somebody to actually orchestrate the manual labor of that. So we keep a list of churches that, you know, if they want to do something for us, or civic groups that want to do something for us, or individuals, then we always keep a list of opportunities for them to come out and help with the agency.
And what would be a number that somebody would call, and or who would they talk to?
They can call the agency, 227-1623. And, you know, just tell them what they're looking for, and they would be referred, depending on what they're looking for, to either myself or to Elizabeth Wise, who's our Victim Services Manager and Volunteer Coordinator.
Okay, and that would be a great one, even as you're talking about projects and everything. Even I would think Girl Scouts.
Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, if somebody wants to build a picnic table, or, you know, do some outdoor painting, plant some flowers in a pots for us around the agency. Trim some crepe myrtles back, you know, in January. Those things grow to the sky. Clean out some gutters. Cut some trees. You know, we have it all.
A lawn care specialist, if you're listening, they could use some help over there. Yeah, there you go. All right. Well, those are the type of things that happen. Now, where exactly is your office?
We are located at 115 East Alexander, so at the corner of East Alexander and Phoenix Street. So just heading south, going out of town, across from the what it was called, the Outpatient Surgery Center. I'm not sure what the name is now, but we're just down there on that side of town, close to the hospital.
Now, what if somebody wants to, I'll say, they want help, but they don't want to expose the other party? I would think that that might be a place where, if some people, you know, you may not want to get your husband, your boyfriend, whatever, arrested, but you really would like to get some help. What do you do?
For adults, we don't expose anybody. Everything is confidential. So whatever that victim gives us permission to disclose, if they give us permission to disclose anything, that's the only thing we disclose. Outside of that, we take that very serious, and we keep that confidential in all ways.
So nobody has to worry that if they came in and sat down and told you all the details and everything that was horrible about it, that that you would be picking up the phone and calling the cops? Because I think a lot of people worry about that, you know.
Yeah, for adults, that is the case, definitely. We would not be calling the cops or making any reports.
Okay.
But keep in mind that there are mandated reporter laws in place for children. So 17 and under, mandated reporter laws, different professionals in the community are required by law to report allegations of child abuse.
Sure. So from that standpoint, that's going to be different. But as an adult, if you just want to try to get yourself feeling good about yourself, being able to move on maybe till the next relationship, the next stage, the next feeling good for the next 20, 30, 40 years of your life, this is the place to come.
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Let's hear a quick word from our sponsors. We'll be right back. Don't you go away.
Frank's Car Wash, Express Wash, and Rapid Lube is your one-stop shop for all your vehicle service needs. Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Now is a good time to let Frank's Rapid Lube flush and fill your cooling system with extended life antifreeze. With today's high gas prices, getting the best performance and mileage out of your vehicle is imperative. We can maximize performance and mileage with our RunRight fuel system cleaner. We can also service your transmission to keep your vehicle shifting smoothly. Visit us today at Frank's Car Wash, Express Wash, and Rapid Lube, located at 432 Calhoun Avenue in Greenwood.
Oh, that's right. We're right here. We've been talking with Beyond Abuse, Kathy Miller, who's the executive director, and Jessica Bell, who is client services director. And of course, they're located at 115 Alexander Avenue East. Their telephone number, 227-1623. You also have a Facebook page, and you have a web page, correct?
Correct.
So, we do. Our webpage, just to make sure everybody understands, is beyondabuse.info, I-N-F-O, beyondabuse.info. And you can find out a lot about what we do at the agency. And again, as we talked about, volunteer opportunities. But any questions, contact information, you'll be able to find it there at the website.
So there you go. You can look it up there. Now, I would think sometimes, Jessica, that it would be hard for people to tell what's happened to them or what they're feeling, because I think sometimes they would think maybe that they wouldn't want to bog you down with their problems.
Yeah, I think we see that a lot, and I hope that they all understand, and this is something I do tell people, is that they're not going to hurt us from the stories they tell us. That's what we're there for. We're there to hear all those details. We need them to be able to express themselves in the way that they need to feel better and get better.
By going ahead and talking about this, people get better.
That's what we found, yes, to talk about the details, their thoughts about it, their feelings about it. What we find out 9 times out of 10 is that they've blamed themselves in some way, for like they're the reason that it happened. And so we really focus on fixing those thoughts, because we know it's not them. It's the perpetrator's choice to do what they did.
So, and again, we're talking about men, women, children. We're talking about all different, yes, different people can use this service here, Beyond Abuse. And there is no charge for you to come and talk to them and start getting some help. Now, education. What kind of education do y'all do to, number one, I guess prevention would be one part of it, right?
And again, depending on what grant funding we have, but yes, we do have one position who is funded to go out and do prevention efforts, so prevention education programs. And that particular one is focused on multi-session. So the theory there is if you can get the same group of people together for multi-sessions and different topics, and you have a bigger impact on making lasting change, so that something prevents it from happening in the future. So, but then we have another team of educators who go out and are doing age-appropriate programming in the schools, the college campuses, in the communities, and we have a whole program guide for churches, for daycares, for the faculty and staff at the schools. So it's a wide gamut of what we provide, so that we can go and hopefully talk to them about what is appropriate. And for younger children, it might be My Body Is Mine. For middle schoolers, it might be social media safety. For high schoolers, it might be healthy relationships. For college age kids, it might be bystander intervention or date rape drugs. And then for the adults in the community, we talk about mandated reporter law, so they understand that, and also signs of child abuse. So we offer a full variety of different programming to meet everybody's needs, so that if there's somebody who was in that audience per se that was a victim, we always talk to them about who is it you can tell and who is it you can trust and where is it you can seek services from. So we're making a real effort to now. In all the counties, we put some billboards up to help people understand what we're here to do, and that we're here for them and to serve them if they have been a victim. So that's one of our, certainly our focus areas, as well as to actually direct client service delivery, is the education and outreach piece. So again, if anybody's interested in programs, they just have to call us. And I do want to mention one thing that I think is very innovative. We recognize the fact that our vulnerable adults are often victimized, so the elderly, and also people with special needs. So we're working now to develop a program for people with special needs. So how do we talk to them about what has maybe happened to them, and how do we communicate with them, be able to tell their story back to us as well and seek services? So we're in that developmental stage right now. I think that's a very exciting place for us to go.
Absolutely. You know, college campuses, I mean, we've seen an explosion of date rape and this type of thing, and there certainly is a need for that, I would think. Not sure about Lander, but in general, just across the country, there's been a huge population that just, it's just erupted, isn't it, yeah. Jessica?
I don't know if it's necessarily erupted. I just wonder if it's being talked about more.
Oh, well, maybe mm-hmm. that's true.
Yeah, because this is something I've heard, I've been in this for 13 years, and I've heard this in college communities, yes, the whole time. So I don't think it's exploded. I think it's just people are open about it.
Right. The federal government enacted what they call some Title IX changes that requires now college campuses to report incidents where maybe they were swept under the rug a little bit before.
Oh, okay.
So now
okay.
There is a reporting mandate. And we're here to help with those program needs as well. So they are required to provide programs to their students, and we provide those programs as well.
Well, it sounds like you have a huge umbrella there that certainly can help anybody, and it certainly would be worthwhile for anybody out there listening to at least pick up the phone and talk to somebody. And Jessica, can somebody talk to somebody and say, you know, I don't know if I need your services or not, but...
Yes, they definitely can. They can call the front office and just tell them what they need, and they'll get routed to the appropriate person. We can definitely talk them through that to help them make that decision.
Because I think that's another thing, you know, am I just imagining or...
And that does happen. That happens a lot where people aren't sure, was this okay, was this not okay? And so we're definitely here for that.
So... pick up that phone and give them a call, 227-1623. I think we have had an excellent discussion this afternoon about Beyond Abuse.
Thank you, Anne.
I agree. Thank you so much.
It's been great having you here. And don't forget, I understand there's a few tickets available for the Greenwood Stars. What do they have to do to get tickets?
They can go to the website, gwdstars.com, or call 227-1623. It's going to be a sellout.
All right. That's April 14th, folks, coming right up. You are listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood. Thanks for listening, and thank you for being our guest today.
Thank you so much for having us.
All right. That'll do it for us. Bye-bye, everybody.